Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Well, we're going to finish up chapter 1, Lord willing, today. We were, I think, down to verse 15 last week, so I'm going to finish Galatians chapter 1 from verse 16 to verse 24. And before I, was there any moms that weren't here last week? I think all of you were here last week, right? Because, all right, we'll say if not, I'll have the other gift certificate or whatever to give you. So follow along here, Galatians chapter 1, starting verse 16. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached a faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Father, I pray and ask for your help. Please help me with this message. And I pray that it would be used for your glory and your honor. Keep a hedge around us. Help us to understand. Allow the Holy Spirit to do a work as only you can. And we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So if you remember in the first, for this first chapter of Galatians, he kind of starts off and reminds the believers that he has delivered us from this present evil world. He's not saying that we are out of this world and in heaven yet, but one day we will be. And then in verse 6 through verse 9, he talks about the gospel and explains what the gospel is, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was kind of surprised. He was marveled, amazed that they moved away, right? You think about that gospel message. It's a free gift. It's by faith we receive Jesus Christ. And he was surprised that there were those that came in and tried to convince them or try to tell them, hey, it's a work-based salvation. You got to do these things, to keep your salvation. He was surprised with that. And he's like, I marvel, right, or amazed that you have moved away. And then in verse 10, where we were last week, he's saying, you know, I'm a preacher of God. I'm not someone that's trying to please men, but my goal is to please God. And then he started to explain in verse 11 down to verse 15, which is continuation of where we'll pick up today, of saying where the gospel and the scriptures came from. And that's what he's trying to explain to him as he's continuing on in verse 16 down. He was telling them that gospel message did not come from man. The gospel message did not come from the church. The gospel message did not come from people sitting together and saying, how can we come up with something? But it came from God. And that's Paul's point as he continues to talk in verse 15 down to the end of the chapter. He's saying, you know, when God saved me, after I got saved, I didn't go to, you know, to Peter and the other apostles that were there. What we could see is God discipled him to help him to grow. He was in Arabia for some time. We believe probably around 3 years that he was alone there. He was still ministering and God was helping him, and God was giving him, the other scriptures later on that we'll see that. But what he was talking about is he didn't get it from Peter. He didn't get it from the apostles. He didn't get it from church. God is the one that's giving him. He's speaking about the Word of God. It's God's precious word. Matter of fact, he even goes through here and says, you know, the churches of Judea, right, that were in that area. Again, these are good churches. He's not discrediting the church. He's not saying that church is not important. His point that he's making is it wasn't the church who gave me the gospel. It wasn't the church who gave me the scriptures. It was God. Now, again, we have to realize he's not against church, because obviously he's telling people that go to church, be faithful to church. He's trying to explain to these, it was actually written to local churches they were supposed to go out, the churches of Galatia. But he was trying to write to these churches so they would understand This wasn't a man thing per se. It's a God thing. God is the one who gave it. God is the one. And that's what he's talking about as he's going through here. He's speaking about the very words of God. This Bible that you have in your hand, yes, God used man, right, to pen down things that were here. Well, the Ten Commandments God gave and put it with his finger. But you think about it, they copied the scripture and record it. God used man, amen, to do that. But this is not man's book. This is God's book. Yes, God used man to help to preserve his word. Well, God is the one that preserved it, but he used man as they would copy it. And I won't get into preservation of scripture, but I'll get into maybe a little bit. But there was a lot of things the Jewish people did to make sure about preserving the scripture. Do you know those Old Testament priests, when they got to a place, I think it was the Masoretics, they would get to the place before they wrote God, With their pen, I was going to say with the pen, whatever the instrument that was there, they would wash their whole bodies before they wrote the word God, when they were copying it down. I mean, they had like this thing, it was just amazing. They counted the words that was on a piece of paper. So when they had the scripture, and they would copy it over, right? Because if you think about it over a period of time, just an example is this here that I typed out. If I saved this for 10 years, you know what would happen to this? It would fade, right? If I had it in sun, it would start yellowing and stuff like that. It'll get old. Do you ever find papers that are kind of old? They can get brittle. So you think about that. They were aware of that, right? And so what they did was God showed them how to preserve, and that's the way to do. But anyway, they would take on a manuscript, just like one sheet of paper. And this is how serious they took God's word when they would preserve God's word. They would go through and they'd count. So Hebrews, they would go from this side to this side, right? Well, for you, it would probably be this side going through. But they would go through and they would count the letters and words. So whenever they would get a manuscript, they would compare it to another one. So when someone would compare it, they would count the letters and words to make sure it was the same. And if it was wrong, then the reality is they would get rid of it. If they found two or three mistakes in the whole manuscript, right? So you think about from Genesis to wherever it was that they were copying it. If they found a couple mistakes, they ripped up the whole manuscript and they said it's wrong, right? They had this process. It was just amazing process of what they did. But God told them to preserve his word, and that's what he did. Amen. We're given, I think Romans chapter 3, verse 1 talks about that. We're permitted the oracles of God. God gave it to them. But I won't get into all that today, because there's surely a lot that's there. But the gist of what I'm trying to tell you of what, you know, staying here of scripture is, Paul was trying to tell them that this gospel, that this word of God is not from me, it's not from Peter, it's not from the apostles, it's not from church, but it's God. You hold the very words of God in your hands. And if we have the very words of God, then the reality is this, we should believe it. We should act upon it. We should study it, read it. We should know what this book says, because this is God's love letter to you. So I want you to think, last week we kind of talked about inspiration, which is God breathed. And this week I'm going to continue to talk about God's word, of what Paul was mentioning here about the scripture. So based on what Paul said, I want you to think about this Bible. Number one, is a spiritual book. Is a spiritual book. And that's what Paul was saying. It's not from me. It's not from Peter. Matter of fact, he's like, I didn't see Peter for, 3 years, and I was only there for 15 days. So how can you say I got it from Peter per se? Or he said, I didn't even see the other apostles. He said, matter of fact, the churches that were in that area, they didn't even know what I looked like. They knew of me, but they didn't know. He's saying that God gave it. But don't you understand, this is a spiritual book. Look what the Bible says over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. A spiritual book. A spiritual book. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is a spiritual book. This book is different than all the books of the world, because this is God's word. Amen? Look what the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading here verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God, right? There's things that we may know, right? Or over time we have learned. Sometimes you could tell if, you know, because, you know, we're human, right? Sometimes you could tell that someone may be going through things by, you could just look, right? How they look. Sometimes it's not 100% accurate, but that's what he's kind of saying. As humans, there's things we know, right? You go in and you see someone that's crying, there's a good chance. Why? They just heard some bad news, right? Or if they're crying, it just could be a lady mark. And it's just, sometimes they do that, right? I have three at home, so anyway, I get four, count my dog, so she hasn't cried. She just makes me cry sometimes, but that doesn't mean I'm a lady. No. Anyway, how did I get all that? I'm going to get myself in trouble. Chris did it. I'll blame Chris. Amen. So I'm out of that one. Hurry up. Jump, preacher. Jump. So anyway, what I'm saying is sometimes you can tell, right? Someone has a big smile on their face. You know, it could be, you think there could be joy, or they're up to something. Depends if they're a teenager, right? So anyway, that's what he's saying is, as humans, there's some things we know, right? And what is he saying? He says the Holy Spirit knows, right? God knows, right? God knows everything. And what God has given us is His Word. He's giving us what we need to hear. He goes on and says, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. God has given us His Word. When you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And what that means is the Holy Spirit can help us to understand this book. It's a spiritual book. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in, you can understand this book. That doesn't mean you're going to get everything. It doesn't mean that you don't need to be taught, because the Bible tells us we need to be taught. We need to learn. We need to grow, right? But you have the Holy Spirit in us that can help us to understand the Scripture. And look what he says here, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, right? He's talking about the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is helping them. And as Paul penned this down, God was telling him what the right... Well, Paul may have had someone else penned it down because his eyesight that was there. But anyway, it was God saying what the right... And what is he saying? Well, this Bible we can know because of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God helps us. And as we're going through... Have you ever, when you're reading the Bible, start to read something and look at something, and your mind start to go a certain path, and you're thinking, that just doesn't seem right. Right? You ever been there? You know why something that's going there? It's because the Holy Spirit is trying to teach you and get you to say, yeah, you're going the wrong way. Right? You're going the wrong direction because you're starting to think, well, I'm getting a little confused on this. This doesn't make sense. And the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, you know that's not right, right? There's something that's there, and you're trying to figure it out, right? And you think about it, you have a pastor you can call. You know, there's others that may be sound that you can talk to. What he's saying is compare Scripture to Scripture, right? You can go through and look at other Scriptures that are there. And what is it? The Holy Spirit's saying, well, you're going the wrong direction. Here, right? Or have you ever studied something out? And as you studied something out, it's like, whoa, that makes sense. And then someone else has studied out. Maybe it was in a commentary or something of a message that you heard. And they say the exact same thing or something similar. And what is it? Then you're like, yes! It gives you assurance that's there. Why was it? Because the Holy Spirit taught you as the Holy Spirit taught them. I remember when I first got saved... I start because I heard a lot of things about this speaking in tongues. I knew it was wrong. I knew it wasn't true. But what I did was I said, you know what? I'm going to study it myself. And that's what I did. I went and I studied it myself. I went back, looked at the Scriptures, studied it, read every reference, everything I could find on the Scripture. Not all the crazy stuff that's out there, but in the Word of God, because God's Word. And you know what the conclusion? I came to the conclusion that it was a period of time that God gave it as a special gift. Not everyone received speaking in tongues at that time. It was a sign gift that would go away. And I had, I don't know how many points I found from it. And you know what happened? I remember there was a preacher. I call him my father-in-law, Dad. But who was that person that Dad liked? Rock?
Yeah, Rock.
Rockwood. I remember, I think it was Dad may have gave me something from Rockwood that talked about the speaking in tongues, or somehow I found it out. And I went through and read it. You know what I found? Everything that he said was the same that I found. You know why? Because the Spirit of God that's in me, it was the Spirit of God that was in him. Amen. It was a confirmation. It was like, whoa, you know, this is interesting. And it gave me assurance. Amen. It's like, yeah, I'm going down the right path here. But look what he says here, verse 14. But the natural man, who is that, the natural man? Well, sinful man, but he's referring to lost person, right? That's what he's saying, right? So, lost, sinful man. But he's talking about the lost person, right? What does God say about the lost person? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So you always take it in context, right? What is he talking? He was talking about the Word of God. And now he's saying that a lost person won't understand this book. A lost person will get to this, and a lot of it they'll say, that's foolishness. That doesn't make sense, right? Now, he's not saying that you'll know every single thing that's there. That's not what he's saying, right? If you're truly born again, God will speak to your heart through this word. Amen. And you can go through, if you start studying, reading, take your time. God will help you and teach you, right? But a lost person, when they get to this Bible and pick it up, the reality is they'll be like, I don't understand this. Now, you know what will happen? The devil, when someone is lost, the devil will say, but there are things you understand. You know, why? Because the devil will try to get you to think that you're okay if you're truly lost, right? So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. He'll say, like when you read John 3:16, you understand what that means, so you must be okay. Sometimes what it is what you may pick up, maybe what you learned in Sunday school, what you learned in junior church, what you heard through preaching, and say, hey, and you're repeating what you have heard, right? And again, there's things that we learn, right? But I'm talking about just getting alone with God. If you get alone with God, if you take time and get alone with God, God should speak to your heart. That doesn't mean that everything you read you're going to understand. But God should speak to your heart about things. John texted me, I think it was yesterday, about something. And I text something back to him. And the reality is what I text back to him was, we were talking about the Bible, was something that God showed in my heart. There was a king that was there, King Ahab. I mean, he was a bad king. He was a wicked king. And there was a king that came in or sent messengers to King Ahab that was there. And as he sent messengers to him, he says, hey, I want you to know, I am going to take your wife, take all your children, and take your gold and silver. And you know what King Ahab said? I shouldn't point to him because now he'll be in trouble. King Ahab said, go ahead. Take them. Yeah. And then the messengers came back and said, we want more. And he got all mad about it. And you know what he said? He said, the first request I'll do. But I'm telling you, if I was married to Jezebel, I may have said the same thing. Amen. She was just horrible, wicked. But that was that man's heart. And you know what God spoke to my heart about? You'll find it in the book of Kings. It was there. God spoke to my heart and said, you know what? Thank God for the dad that I had. You know? Thank God for the parents I had that was there. And I never want to be a dad, or I never want to be a husband like that king. Does that make sense? But what I'm saying is God spoke to my heart about that. That's not anywhere. It's not commentary. But it's just reading the Word of God, and God spoke to my heart. And I could probably go to other times where in my life. And what he's saying is this: if you're born again, God will speak to your heart. You can know this is a spiritual book. I remember a time, I think I was working at Citibank. When I was at Citibank, I remember I was walking through, can't remember what I was doing, but there was two ladies that were talking. And one of the ladies that was talking to the other lady, you know what, they were talking about reading the Bible or picking up the Bible, reading or whatever. And I remember that lady said something. She's like, I don't understand it. I read it. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it. Do you know why? Because she doesn't have the Holy Spirit. This is a spiritual book. And the reality is, you need to make sure that you're saved. Be born again. Amen. If you're born again, you're going to understand. Now again, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you're going to go through and under every single thing, you pick it up, read it one time and be like, yep, I got it all settled. No. Sometimes I tell this to Mark. Mark, I've read it, I don't know how many times, a lot of times, and I studied it, and I still don't know everything. You know what I mean? So don't take it that way. Amen? What I'm saying is sometimes you have, but there should be stuff when you read this book. If this Bible never speaks to you, never, right? You pick up this Bible and you get nothing out of it every single time, right? Now sometimes your sin can hinder you, or sometimes you're not paying attention. But I'm talking about you pick up this Bible and you read it and you get nothing out of this book. There's something wrong spiritually. It's either you're backslidden, not right with God, or you don't know Him. There is no way you could pick up this book and read it through every single time and get nothing. It's a spiritual book, right? Now, sometimes, again, it could be how you're reading it, right? You're not spending time alone. You're just rushing through. But just spend time, chew on it, and think about it. That's there. But it's a spiritual book. Well, Paul was saying to those churches that got that epistle, is saying, hey, I want you to understand that this gospel I'm giving to you is the very words of God. It's not from me. It's not from church. It's not from the apostles. But it's from directly from God. And folks, can I tell you, this is a spiritual book. If you want to know it, make sure that you know Him. Amen. Make sure that you're born again. If you aren't born again, don't be surprised you don't get this book. Let me give you another example. Before I got saved, I read through this Bible, I don't know how many times, maybe twice. Maybe I read through twice, maybe one time, I don't know. And I sat in church, I listened and stuff like that. But you know, when I would pick up this book, it never really spoke to my heart. It was just like words on a piece of paper. That was it. The day that I got saved and I picked up this book, that this Bible is different now than what it was before I got saved. If when you pick up this book, if you're truly born again, that day that you got saved, you picked up this book, it should be different. If everything's still the same, you pick it up and it's like, I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me, right? And that's there's something wrong. It is a spiritual book. Does that make sense to you? Hopefully that makes sense. And it's not my opinion. I'm just telling you. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of... Right? God is the one to say it. As a preacher, all I'm doing is expounding upon it, explaining it that's there. But it's a spiritual book. Also, when you come to this book, and what you think, the second thing, is Bible must be read with faith. This Bible must be read with faith. Look at what the Bible says over here to the book of Romans chapter 10.
See, one of the evidence as you're turning to Romans chapter 10 is when I got saved was I knew I was born again. Because when I picked up this book, it's different than what it was before. That is a blessing. Amen. That gives you the assurance that you have Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Amen. Look here what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10. So we must read the Bible with faith. Read the Bible with faith. Look what the Bible says here in Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a glorious thought that's there, right? Salvation is by faith, believing what Jesus did for us. We're sinners, we can't save ourselves. He died for us, was buried, and rose again. And when you get saved, it's the belief that's in your heart. You believe and you'll confess it. Yes, He's my Savior. I accept Him as my personal Savior. It's by faith. But look what He says as we continue on. Now how shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now this word preacher is similar to what we were talking about in Ecclesiastes this morning. He's not talking about like me as a preacher or a pastor. He's talking about someone that proclaims, he shares the message, right? And what he's saying is, how can someone receive faith unless they hear it, right? You know, someone that's out there and they never have the Word of God, that's doing this. Yeah, I just got saved. Nope. God's Word has to be involved, right? And you may say, preacher, how do you know? Well, verse 15, he kind of says that in verse 16 about being sent. But look what he says here in verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? God's Word will be involved. So when you got saved, you either heard it through preaching, or someone preaching, maybe a Bible tract where the Word of God was in. Maybe you had a television, and maybe it was, I don't know, there was a preacher on television, or maybe it was a radio. Someone gave you the Word of God, and what was it? You heard the Word of God, you fell under conviction, and you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The reality is this, it's not some vision, you know. Oh, I saw this vision of Jesus and that's how I got saved. Well, you must have ate too much taco seasoning or something or salsa. Because that's not of God. That's not what God does. It's His Word. Matter of fact, you remember when Lazarus was in paradise and the rich man was in hell. He said, hey, send him back that my brothers could see miracles. And what Abraham responded was, you know, they have preachers. They have prophets. Let them hear them. What is he saying? Miracles aren't going to get people saved, but it's the Word of God. Amen? So anyway, I want you to understand, this book is a spiritual book, and you must, when you read it, you take it by faith. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, so when you read it, take it by faith. God said it, believe Him. Amen? So we take it by faith. Don't doubt God. Look here what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, starting here verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? If you see something, right? That's he's saying that's not faith, right? You know, I am going to take my Bible and put it here, right? And I know that my Bible will stay here per se, right? He's saying, well, the reason I know is because, yes, I may have faith that's strong enough, but it's because I see this here, right? But if I was standing this way and didn't know what was there and say, hey, I'm going to take my Bible and put it there without seeing it and it stays there, it'd be like, whoa, right? That what he's saying is, faith is a substance thing hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't see it per se physically, but you know it's true. And he goes through and explains, for by it the elders attained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do not appear. Who here was at the creation of God when God created everything? Anyone? None of you. How do we know God created it? Because He told us, right? And we believe Him. That's what He's saying, right? We believe it. Now, you think about Bible faith is not a blind faith. You want to talk about blind faith? A blind faith is the atheist. That's blind faith, right? Chris, your great grandmother or whatever it is and grandfather, they came from apes. You imagine that? Imagine there's people that believe that. Some people act like that, but I mean, how dumb that is. And it's blind faith. You know why? Do you see what they've defined as a missing link from apes to human? There's none, right? There's not half ape, half human walking on the earth. There's not a tadpole, right, that comes out to be whatever, right? A cat, a wolf. You don't see those things, right? You all you see in this creation, you see the finished product of what God created. Does that make sense? Right? The caveman, right? What they're saying is evolve, right? The evolution that's there. You'll find none of it. You never find any of it on this earth. Now, there's some people that act that way. There's some people because of sin are trying to get back to doing some crazy stuff. But the reality is this, you won't find that. Matter of fact, out of the billions of fossil records that they have found, you know what they have found? There's not a single one that shows a evolution. Not a single one. Now, in China, they have tried to justify and say, look, we found this creature that's here and has wings, and this must evolve. But they have, all they're doing is they're just trying to say, this is what we think it is. But they have found no creature, no human, nothing that shows evolution, right, at all. That is to believe in evolution is a blind faith. Does that make sense? There is no proof of it. Matter of fact, evolution itself, if you think about it, you just look at the laws of physics, it's against the laws of physics. It doesn't make sense, amen? So anyway, that's blind faith. When we think about God's Word, even though I was not there, I know it's true. Why? Because God said it. But the truth is, because God's Word is trustworthy. God's Word is trustworthy. We can trust in it. If this was not the very words of God, then the reality is we could not trust in it. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Job. Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. Now, I did a study in the book of Job, so some of you that were here in that study, you may remember some of this. But look here at Job chapter 38. So this Bible is not a science book. However, can I tell you there's science things that are in this book? Look here to Job chapter 38. So you think about it, just at the beginning. The Bible talks about what? That animals were created after their own kind. That's what we see today, right? And they're still that way, right? Why? This ain't a science book. But God told us, right? The Bible tells us that this world is hanging on nothing, right? Do you know, Bob? I can't remember what year it was before our time. But you know, people thought that this world was on something, hanging on something, or it was just there's not stuff that are out there. But this Bible said it long before man found out. How is that possible? So if they would have had school at that time, they would have said, Chris, the world is on something. Right? They would have taught that in school. Who knows what they teach today? But this Bible said that's not the case, right? At one time, there were not all, but one time, they said this world was flat. Yeah, well, that's true. There are still people that say this world is flat, even though they go up in the satellite, they take pictures of it and show you. And that's that. Nope, it's all fake conspiracy theory. It's, you know, aliens or whatever. But Chris, if you went to school, some schools, maybe they still do, they would have taught you that the world was flat. But you know, this Bible tells you it's not, right? So again, what I'm saying is this is not a science book, but this book will show you the truth. And you know what? Scientists over time have said, hey, look, world's not flat, right? Hey, we have made a discovery. Well, it was already here, right? So anyway, look what the Bible says here in Job chapter 38. Look down here, verse 22. Here is God responding to Job. You want to talk about some amazing stuff. Boy, I tell you, you read chapter 38 and 39, you look what God said and look at the power that's there. There is so much that's in this book. But look what he says here in Job chapter 38 and verse 22. Hath thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? Now, most of us today know this, right? We know this, right? So we're thinking of today, when you think about a snowflake, right? You have heard, right? There's no snowflake that's the same, right? But you know, this book was written before the law was given. This book was written, I don't know, about at least over 3,000 years before scientists finally figured out the truth of it. How is that possible?
To a naked eye, you may look at a snowflake and look at that and look at another snowflake and say, ha, there could be a duplicate, right? I got this. Wilson Bentley was born in February 9th, 1865. So, you know, some of you may have been back in those days now. In Vermont, a farmer by trade and attracted world attention with his pioneering work of the area of photometry. It was just taking photos and going in really low. Most notably in his life work with rain, dew, and frost, and his work with snowflakes. This is back in 1865. In 1885, he came the first person to photograph a single snow crystal. And he photographed well over 5,000 snow crystals, never finding two of the same. His documentary of the work advanced the study of meteorology at the time. As a matter of fact, his photos were acquired by Institute of Higher Learning all over the world, and his writings or subjects were published in many journals and magazines, and they mentioned them: National Geographic, Scientific American, National Weather Service Research. In 1931, his book, Snow Crystals, were published by McGraw and Hill and is still in published today, or print today. And shortly after, he died. And they called him the Snowflake Bentley. He wouldn't like that word today, right? It'd be Snowflake Bentley. But anyway, while snowflakes may appear the same on a magical level, it is very nearly impossible for two to be the same. Now I'm going to get into the scientific part. Water is made of a mixture of hydrogen and oxygen isotopes. Let's say that word, hopefully. These isotopes have simply different properties from each other, altering the crystal structure formed using them. And while three natural isotopes of oxygen don't affect the crystal structure, the three isotopes of hydrogen are different. One in 3,000 water molecules contains a hydrogen isotope. Even if one snowflake contained the same number of atoms as another snowflake, they won't occur to be the exact same places of the crystals. There was a scientist from the National Center of Research in Boulder, Colorado, estimates that each snow crystal contains, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It looks like got 17 zeros behind it. Water molecules, which makes it impossible to have the same one. Then it was determined at around 1900s, right? So 19th century, 20th century, this finally came out to be true. What God said over 3,000 years ago, that in school they would have said, you know, they may have looked the same. But God at Word, how is that possible? That we as humans didn't figure this, because this is the very words of God. Look down here to verse 24. By what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east up a wind upon the earth? The University of Virginia, the first person to realize that white light was made into the colors of a rainbow, was Isaac Newton, who in 1666 passed sunlight through a narrow slit, then a prism, to project the colors on a wall. The University of Wisconsin says this prism is a piece of glass or plastic by shapes of triangle. They have gone through, yada yada, I'm not going to give you all the scientific thing because it's all crazy. But anyway, they go through and they have found in this, what is it, about, let's say, 17th century, that light parts in prisms. You know it now. You could probably go to the dollar store and buy a prism, right? And we look at this and it's common knowledge today, but it wasn't common knowledge. Matter of fact, it wasn't even known until that period of time. How is that possible? How is it that there's things in here that talk about things that we haven't discovered until thousands of years later, and people are like, whoa? Because this is the very words of God. Do you know there's springs in water?
In the book of Job, it talks about that there are springs in water. Most of you know there's springs in water. You know why? Because you watch that cartoon Nemo. Right? Yeah? You see, you watch Nemo, and what you seen in Nemo? Remember he jumped in that, was it Nemo? I think it was, or they were going looking for Nemo, Dory or something, one of them, I don't know which one it was. But anyway, remember they jumped in there? And we all know it's common knowledge. But they didn't discover that. It was only a few hundred years ago. How is that possible? Because this is the very words of God. Folks, when I tell you, I want you to think about it. This is not a science book. But can I tell you what science has proven? I'm talking about not junk science, but I'm talking about science that goes through and proves things. They prove this Bible over and over and over again, the trustworthiness. Can I tell you, there are scientists out there saying, hey, yeah, there's something to this book. I'm not talking about those that are atheists because they're blind. They won't look to the Scripture. But you think about, we can trust this book. And there's other things that you can go through and you find. Think about the prophecies that just told of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible talked about before Jesus came into this world, it was recorded of His lineage, His time of His birth, the place, the miracle, the forerunner, His flight into Egypt, the massacre of infants. We look back and say, yeah, we know it happened. But it was recorded before it happened. How is that possible? It foretold of His life. It foretold of His death, how He would die and how He would raise again from the dead. How is that possible? Because this is the very words of God. Amen? There is no book in the world like this. None. You know why? Because this is God. If man created this book, there would have been no way that man would have recorded something that says about how light parted. You know why? Because man didn't know. Matter of fact, this was recorded before even our Lord left heaven and came down. Before the law was given. It is supposed to be the oldest recorded book of the Bible. The oldest recorded book tells us things that we didn't find out until 3,000 plus years later. Because you have the very words of God. So the last point I want you to see over here in the book of James. I'm almost done. James chapter 1. Well, can I tell you, there is so much that you can get through it. Amen? It's just amazing what you can find in this book. Look over here to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. So some things that are common knowledge to us today wasn't common knowledge hundreds of years ago. Amen? But if they would have read the Bible and looked, they would have been like, it is possible. Amen. Anyway, look what the Bible says here in James chapter 1, verse 22. Be not doers of the word. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not the doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. And he beholdeth himself and goeth this way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Here's the last point is this. This Bible should be practice, right? It's a spiritual book. You take it by faith, but it should be practice. Folks, what I mean by that is, spend time reading this book. This is God's Word. Spend time studying this book. And when you understand it, apply it to your life. Practice it. Our Sunday school class, we were on the Book of Ecclesiastes. You missed it. We got it. So Mom took notes for you. So in the Book of Ecclesiastes, you know what Solomon came to the conclusion after 12 chapters at the end of it? What did he come to the conclusion? Those who were in Sunday school? Anyone remember? Vanity, right?
Yes.
But what was the conclusion, the last few verses? Mark, look at my hand.
Serve the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength.
There you go. Fear God and keep His commandments.
Yep.
There's the whole conclusion of man, right? All these things in the world's not going to satisfy. It's not going to give you joy and peace. What is he saying? Know this book. It had been wise for Solomon to take his own counsel, and I think by the time he realized it, it was too late. There's the conclusion. Find out what this book says. And do it. You want to be a wise person? Follow this book. Who cares what others think of you? Because if you don't follow this book, they'll say, yeah, you're fitting in with the crowd. But I'd rather not fit in with the crowd and follow God than have the crowd being happy with me. Because if I have the crowd happy with me, the reality is that means I'm not pleasing God. If I'm not pleasing God, I'm not going to be happy. I'm not going to have joy. I'm not going to have peace. I'd rather be a stick in the mud, is what they would define me as, a stick in the mud, but I'm pleasing the Lord, than being someone who's not, that fits in with the crowd and not pleasing Him. Folks, can I tell you, this is the very words of God. I hope that you know that. And if not, I hope today will be the day if say you saw the truth and say, you know what? I want to believe on Jesus. Amen? Because everything that's here is truthful. And what that means is it's pointing unto man wants to die after this to judgment. You will meet God with your sins if you're lost. And you'll die and spend eternity in a lake of fire. Just as God showed us the truth of other things, that is also true. Thank God He can save you and forgive you. Father, thank You for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I know it's a little longer than normal, but Lord, I also know that's what You want me to preach, so I don't apologize for that. But I thank You for the patience of the people that are here. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit was working on hearts. And Lord, I pray that people would respond as You have dealt on their heart today. Lord, I give You the invitation. Pray Thy will be done. We ask in Jesus' precious name.